want to first of all greet you with these words that Paul wrote to the Colossians. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof we heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringing forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye were of it, heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras as dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto you us your love in the Spirit. Good morning. It's a beautiful morning today. And when I think of Thanksgiving or think of being thankful, we wonder who got up thankfully today, or was it not a good day today? Thanksgiving, you know, a daily thing. Sometimes we would like to sleep longer. Sometimes we don't like our breakfast. Sometimes we maybe are not feeling well, and yet the joy of the Lord is what brings us forward, not the flesh. The flesh has a thing of its own, and so we can't depend on it. So the Spirit of God brings us into joy, and so we are at Thanksgiving, a day we set apart for that. And so as Paul writes about the grace and peace which comes from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and we give thanks. We give thanks today. And I believe we all had a good house where we stayed in. I believe we all had food to eat. And I sometimes say if you didn't have food to eat, just come to our place. We have plenty. So that's not something that in this world we have, or even in this country where we are lacking of, we have. And so we want to be thankful today. So before we go to song, I would just ask that you would bow your head for a prayer. As we are, Father, coming before you humbly, knowing you created the world, you gave a place for us to stay, and everything that we are in need of, we are provided for. And especially as we read Psalms 23, the Lord is our shepherd. We have need of nothing else. And that's one of the greatest things that you provide, regardless of what color we are. You provide even whatever size we are, if we're short or tall. You provide. You have provided that salvation, the greatest gift that we could ever have, and that is the greatest thanks to you, Father, that you had that plan, and Jesus, that you would go to the cross on this earth to show us that you would pay for the debt that belonged to us. And you've taken it, nailed it to the cross, and today you are alive, and today we also, each and every one that is here today, can be alive. Lord, if there's anyone here today that is not alive, that they will today make a decision to come to you and that make you your Redeemer or their Redeemer, and you being their salvation and their being, you being their everything. And so, Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy, loving kindness. We pray for the sick. We pray for those that have lost loved ones. Ask for those strength for those that are weak and maybe even poor in the world today. We pray for them. Lord, if there's anybody that's burdened here today, or anyone that is listening is burdened, that they will bring it to the cross and that they leave it there. And so we pray and ask for those things. So we thank you so much again today that we could gather in a house. It's warm. It's out of the wind. It's not raining in here. So thank you, Father, for all of that as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a couple of songs.
Stick our red book and turn to number 45. I have a Savior. He's pleading in glory. Number 45.
I have a Savior, he's pleading in glory, that dear loving Savior, though earth's friends be few, and now he is watching in tenderness o'er me. But oh, that my Savior were your Savior too. For you I am praying, for you I am praying, for you I am praying, I'm praying for you. I have a Father to me.
Still,
our beautiful songs, and that this God that we serve be nearer to us. And one of the things that I, this last week when I was reading through Isaiah, it's interesting how the Isaiah speaks about much about God and how God speaks to us, that who do we make a God? Or what do we make a God? And it's something that, for me, it livens me up to say, what will I make a God of? And these people, it talks about they made of silver, gold, of wood. When they were poor, they would burn it with fire and they would then make it a God. And sometimes I wonder what our thoughts are on that. And to myself is I always have to be careful. What do I make my God? Or who is my God? Do I love my God? Do I love my God as far as the earth is to the heavens? Do I love him that much? And I think if we do, we realize that our flesh is still with us, but mostly we will be very thankful for what we have. Psalms 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. So we can see even in this Psalms that what are we to do? Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He talks about all the lands. You know, and when we read Isaiah, and he doesn't just talk about, the Christians. He doesn't talk about just to, Judah or to Israel. He talks about to all of them. And he says, I called you. And he says, I called you. I called even those that were not in knowing him. And so he's called us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. My voice is not very good because I had a cold just a couple of days ago, and so my singing isn't as good. I sure like to sing louder than I did this morning, but my voice is not carrying very much. But how many of you sang? Did you all sing? Did you enjoy it? Amen. You know, that is something that we do often. You know, it says, come in his presence with singing. You know, when you're walking down the street and you're whistling and people look at you, they say, I like it. Do you have joyful? Are you joying of the Lord? Are you really, thankful what you have? Or as Paul says, being content. Philippians chapter 4, it talks about contentment. Are we content? Are we content with what you have? Or are we just looking for always more? It's something that was just not quite right for me this morning or during the week or whatever. Are we content? What I was thinking of, marriages, or I don't see a lot of young people here today as far as children goes, but there's some young people here. Are we content with what we have? the clothes. Are you okay with the clothes that you have? I mean, we're talking about, you know, the physical things of being thankful for, and we're talking about, you know, the gardens, the bountiful, the fields, the job that you have. Are we thankful? Can we go singing and say, you know what, I'm so thankful for all the things that I have? Or am I just say, I look at the things that I don't like that, I don't like that. There's certain things I pick out I don't like. Are we thankful? Are we thankful? I mean, you might be asking, saying, well, you asked too many questions today. But one of the things is, I say, you know, when I look around, and I don't know all of you, but one of the things I do is we were just in Mexico, and we were very thankful we could go there. We have children there, and so our grandchildren are there, four of them. I mean, the rest are here, but though we're very thankful, but one of the things is I'm looking around, and how many of you have never been in church before? So all of you have been in church before. So I'm really not talking to someone that's not taught. And maybe this is a question I shouldn't ask, but how many of you read the Bible? So all of you read the Bible. Great. So do we practice it? Do we apply it to our lives the way the Bible would teach us? Like saying, like, you know, when we look at right at the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth and the people, and what did he say right at the end? It was very good. He saw it and he said it was very good. So, you know, we people, we are made very good. There is nothing wrong with we are made. But a lot of times we want to better ourselves. Somehow we want to make ourselves look better, do things to it that it makes look better, because we're not quite thankful for what God has made. Would you agree or wouldn't you agree? Yeah. And so God has created something really good, and he wants it to stay that way. And so being thankful... And then we just want to go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. verse 18 says, "And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Being thankful. So... We have plenty, and sometimes we eat too much. I do. You maybe not. And then I get a little bigger than I want to. Yeah, I can do something about that. But it's not saying that we have, God wants us to look at it and say, I'm very disappointed in myself, and that I'm totally like unhappy. God has created us, and he has created us well, and we ought to be thankful. We ought to be very thankful. And I take it for all of you had a good garden, had a good summer, good taken in. We come across the United States, and there's plenty. There's so much corn and soybeans and other crops, cotton further down south, in Mexico, plenty. There's so much. They had rain this year, and they're thankful for the rain. And so, to be thankful, for the bountiful that we have gotten. Again, we got rain, we got sunshine, we got warm weather. We planted the seeds, they came up, and they gave. Well, since we've been back, we haven't been back in our garden, our little garden that we had. But one of the things is that we had cucumbers, and as long as we gave them water, they kept giving us more cucumbers. I don't know if you got some of those, but we sure did. We sure did. It was plenty. And so, to be thankful in everything that we have, especially the physical part also, and also the spiritual. Here, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about in 24, Matthew 6, 24, starting. And it goes all the way to, and it talks about physical things. And it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, that what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor what yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So here we can even see like how the flowers moving. I love flowers. I like flowers. I like the color of it, and we how they grow and how they are built. And yet it says here that Solomon was a man of everything. He had everything, as much as he wanted. And yet here he says that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So anything that Solomon was, he could not, except what God had created, that was way better. And to be so thankful that it is God that has done this, not us as people. Further, he says in verse 30 and on, he says, and wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto today is the evil thereof. So when I think of this and when I read this, my thought is coming to me, there's worries. There's so much worries in all this, our things, that we can hardly say even thank you. There's hardly even that we can even say thank you. But he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all, you know, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. So there shouldn't be no worries, but rather that we say thank you. That we serve the one master, and that's God. That's God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We serve one master, And we're so thankful that we have this master. I know I used to work, when I worked at Friesen's, then they asked me if I wanted a different job. I wanted to hire a job. No, I said, I really didn't want one. What I really wanted, I wanted to serve God. Because man, it's difficult. A lot of time, man will give you difficult, make it difficult for you, but God will not. Just like He said in Matthew 11, He says, "When come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly at heart, and I'll give rest unto your soul." And then He makes it clear. He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's what Jesus very clearly Himself stated. That was not me saying it out of my own self, but it says, Jesus Himself says, serving one God and being thankful for Him and what He provides for us. As we can see, like I said, we look at the crops, and our son was saying like they were doing some testing as a mechanics to see how they could do their better with their combines and the what they were getting in. And he said, and he had some chance of doing actually some combining. And he says, corns, 200 bushels per acre. He says, and then he talked about, he says, even it was peaking at 270 sometimes, very short, but maybe some of you did, maybe you didn't get that, but and maybe you got higher. But the thing is, what are we going to do with that? Are we going to be thankful and serve the Lord with that? Or are we just going to keep it to ourselves and say, well, I will serve to myself? See, that is one of the things that, which master are we serving? Am I the master? Or am I master is Jesus Christ or the Father in heaven? And I'm serving Him, and He's the one that's going to get the honor and the glory, and He's also going to get His part. Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 1, it says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good and understanding, and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." So those are the first part of the seven verses. What he's talking about, what we ought to do, how we should behave ourselves. My son, forget not my law. And it'll be very clear that we do not forget His law. That what he says, to trust in Him totally. And then he says in verse 8, he says, "And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." And then he says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase." The first fruits of thine increase. And so honor God with the first fruits. And so, before we go on, let's do the second part of the service. Let us, whoever is able, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's take your blue hymnal and turn to number 262, Higher Ground. 262, for those that are able, let's stand.
I find that song a wonderful song because to plant our feet on higher ground. I always think higher ground, I think of eagles soaring. I always think of Isaiah 40, verse 31, where we, you know, soaring in the air, higher ground. And so... To first fruits, I chose Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. And I would even that you read the whole chapter, but I will just do verse 10. It says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me how now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." One gentleman says that that he had... He shoveled out and God had a bigger shovel. He shoveled back in. And so we can see how God's blessings are there, how he wants to bless us, but he wants us also to bring the first fruits He doesn't want us to bring us to maybe the bottom of the barrel where there's where it's just a little bit left, where it's not enough. But he wants us to be thankful. So I believe if we have a thankful heart toward God from where all blessings come, we will be willing to give. We will be willing to give. And whatever it is, time, money, possessions, whatever we have, we are willing to give. And as it says, that the storehouse will overflow. And so I think it's very important for us to realize that. We have one example, and I wanna read from all the different what we call the gospel. First of all, I want to do Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. I want to read one verse there, verse 19. And all these I have all this from all the same account where Jesus gives the food blessings or the food to the people. So Matthew 19 or 14 verse 19, he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. So here they were handing out. First of all, he looked up to heaven. And then we'll just go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, the same account. Mark chapter 6, verse 41. And it says this, "And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to the disciples, he set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them all." So that's, again, the same account where he gave. And then go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, where also the same account, verse 16. Luke 9, verse 16. "And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to them to the disciples and set them before the multitude." That's now we want to go to John. Now we want to read the whole thing. Read John chapter 6, verse 5-13. "And Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" So now he's asking a question. Remember what I said about the in Malachi verse chapter 3 verse 10. And he says, Jesus is asking Philip, he says, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And then verse 6, he says, "And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." So Jesus himself knew what he would do, but this was to prove his disciples, and it is also to prove us where our faith is. As he talked about little faith in Matthew 6, "O ye of little faith," he says. And then further, verse 7, he says, "And Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Take the men, take the men, sit down, or make the men to sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number, about 5,000. This was 5,000 men. This wasn't 5,000 people. These were men, and then women they don't talk about, and they don't talk about there may be children also. So you can imagine how many could have been. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, and again, giving thanks, he said when he had taken the loaves and given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. So not keeping back anything. They're just saying, okay, as much as you want, you can have. And then he says, and when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. So now we can see that we have there five loaves, two little fishes. He gave thanks and said, distribute. Now he also says, well, I'll gather the fragments. Before the disciples said there wasn't enough. Now he said, well, gather the fragments. And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 12 of five barley loaves and remained over and above the unto them that had eaten. So we can see that how here there was plenty. Our Heavenly Father has plenty. We just got to be thankful, and we got to seek Him first. He said, there's plenty. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff, that have this earthly things. There's plenty. I mean, I always think of the Israelites, how they came out of the Egypt, and they always thought, wow, there won't be enough. There's not a water. There's not, you know, food. There's not this. There's not that. Because we had it in Egypt, we should go back into Egypt. And so, I don't know if it's any difference with us. We always want to go back into Egypt. We always want to go back into the world and, you know, think, no, he doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to keep straightforward and say, Lord, there's plenty for us. There's plenty. Jesus looked up and thanked his Father, and there was no question by him if his Father would give. It would glorify the Father. This would glorify the Father. When we go to Matthew chapter 5, we see that what Jesus is saying there in the message that he gave to the people there, he says this, ye are the salt of the earth, verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is not thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. One of the greatest things that people see in the world, those that don't have the light, when he says salt of the earth, when they see Christians being thankful, when they see thankfulness for what they have, the world looks at it and says, wow. We have never enough. We don't have, you know, our pockets, they, we always fill them, but they're always empty. But we realize Christians aren't that way. There's always there. What we just saw, Jesus said, like, the Father has plenty enough. Plenty enough. And that with that, we show, it says, let your light so shine before men. How do we let it shine? Be a thankful people for what we have. We have life. And then they says that they may see your good works. Salvation doesn't come by our works. It comes by the works of Christ only. But what is in us, if you have that salvation, that is what the works will show, what's there. And it will be very clear to see. And then he says, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what men will do. Because they'll see it. They'll say, wow, this is incredible how different it is. When we go to Psalms 18, Psalms 18, verse 1 to 3 says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Further in Psalms 105, Psalms 105, he talks about some of these things that happened, I believe, in Egypt. Psalms 105, verse 39 and on. These were the Israelites. And he said, verse 39, he spread a cloud for a covering, a fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails, satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham, his servant. And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. And Psalms 106, verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That's the Lord. And then we turn over to Psalms 50. Psalms 50, 14 and 15 says this, offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So we see continually in the Psalms, and then if we turn to Psalms 95, we see continually in the Psalms how be thankful, praising God. Psalms 95, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed it, formed the dry ground or land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God Maker. For he is our God, And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in a provocation and as in a day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. These are people, 40 years, that walked in the wilderness and were not thankful to come out of Egypt, out of the land of bondage. And so where have we come out of? Not out of the land of bondage? I am. I've come out of the land of bondage where I was in sin. I was lost. My greatest thanks is to God the Father that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into this world that we could be saved. Why would I not be thankful? Why would I not say thanks every day or every part of my day that I say, thank you, God, what you brought me out of? Will you feed me? Yes, you will. He will feed us in everything. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2, where the first church, where people came out of, they were baptized, and this is what they did. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines, verse 42 starting, and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as were that every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When I look at that and I read that, they were thankful. They were so thankful that what they had come out of, they had come out of Egypt, they had come out of the bondage of sin and brought into the company of the Holy Spirit and of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had come together. Now they were thankful. They were praising God. They were helping each other. Colossians chapter 1. And I don't bring these verses so that you haven't ever heard these before. I'm sure you have heard these before. But are we applying them? That's my biggest question is, are we applying these verses or the Bible to ourselves? Are we living it out to the point where the world says this is a total upside down people? Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14 says this, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Partakers. That we actually meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So we can see that to be thankful, so thankful, and the Bible continually talks about being thankful. And then we turn the page over, or two pages over, Colossians 3. We read more verses. 15 to 17 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." The peace of God ruling in the heart. To be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So important. So important that this is ruling our heart. Jesus Christ himself is ruling our heart. And then I want to go one more passage here, Romans chapter 5. I want to read 1 to 5. Romans 5, 1 to 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So we, as those that believe, the Holy Spirit, it is poured out unto us, into our hearts. The love of God is there. And so we love God, and so we are so thankful people because we are set free. But not free to do what we want with the flesh. We are set free in liberty of sin. That's what we're set free, to live a righteous life, a holy life in Christ, in God, the Father. Each day, look at to see the good things God has given you, physical and spiritual. Count them one by one. I really encourage each and every one of you today. I realize we have set away this day for a Thanksgiving message. But let's do that daily. Daily. What is our, you know, one by one, the good things? And I'm pretty sure the other ones will fall. It is the good things that we look at one by one. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for the Bible. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the redemption that you have sent us, that we could be redeemed from our sins. We thank you so much, Lord, that you have also went to prepare a place for us. And we thank you so much that you still give us all things. Even the physical things of this earth, you've given so plenty. Lord, we thank you for what the farmers are taking off. We thank you for what we got out of the gardens. We thank you, Lord, for the weather that you have provided for us, that all these things could be possible. May you be glory, all glory and honor go to you. Then we know that we cannot take anything. Even this morning when we got up, the breath we took was yours. We thank you for the breath. We thank you for the eyes that we could open. And we thank you for, as far as those that have health and those that do not, pray that you would give them health. And what as much as they do have, that they will be thankful, even in trials and tribulation. And all of us, that when we have them, that we are thankful that your love is in our heart, and that we can worship you, that you are our God, And so we pray, Lord, that for each and every one, and Lord, is there someone here today or listening that does not have salvation? Lord, may you grant them a heart that is soft, and that this message of salvation will come in, that your Spirit will lead them to also freedom in their heart from sin, and that there's also a place prepared for them and each and every one of us in heaven. So Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you, Father, again for loving us as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We don't need to pray only here. We can pray anywhere, morning or evening, if need be, day and night. So if you have anything on your heart, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Stick our blue book and turn to 329, Saved by the Blood. We can all be thankful that we are saved by the blood. Let's all stand.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Good morning. Thank you, Brother Jake, for coming out this morning and for that wonderful message. Also, thank you for song leaders and pianists for leading us in singing this morning. Just a few announcements. Right on the front of the bulletin, it talks about hospital visitations. If you're aware of any church members that are hospitalized and would like pastoral visitation, please call the church office. There's a number in the bulletin there, and also you can text or WhatsApp where there's another phone number there. So that is good for the ministerial to be notified if there is somebody that is in a hospital that would like visitations. It's very much appreciated. And then everyone is invited to attend the church annual Thanksgiving service program and lunch starting at 10 a.m. Sunday, October 19th, which is next Sunday. We need volunteers to bake chocolate and apple pies. There will be a sign-up sheet in the foyer today, October 12th, which most of you probably saw, which is up front there or in the foyer. Lunch will be served buffet style in the dining hall. Come and enjoy food and fellowship. And that's organized by the program committee, Ike and Bertha Wall, Ike and Tina Dick, Albert and Angela Duick. So they're setting that up. And then to the Thanksgiving program, October 19th. Communion preparation service will be October 26th. And then the annual serving group meeting is planned for Monday, October 27th at 7:30 p.m. in the church dining hall. All members are encouraged to attend and help make decisions. Anyone interested in serving within the church in this way but is not involved yet, please come and join us. Looking forward to seeing you there. So anybody who's interested in joining the serving group, feel free to attend that meeting. And then there's the seniors' coffee. We're planning to resume the monthly seniors' coffee on the third Thursday of the month, starting October 16th at 2 p.m. And just a note for your calendars, it's not in the bulletin, but our annual church meeting is coming up October 28th at 7 p.m. Most of our events start at 7:30, but the annual church meeting is at 7, so take note of that. And then also, just for putting onto your calendars, communion service will be November 2nd at 10 a.m. Thank you all for coming, and have a blessed Sunday.
Well, thank you for those announcements, and I want to thank you all for coming. It's so good to see you all, and even greetings from Mexico, from the congregations there. There's four congregations in Mexico, and so they also mentioned that there should be, we should, for those that were here, we should, greet them. So greetings from Mexico Church. So that's wonderful to see all of them. We had a couple of elections there in Hawaii. The first ones that they don't have any ministerial there in Hawaii, so they have now elected a minister and a deacon, and the minister is Henry Peters, and the deacon is Henry Lowen. So if you have time to pray for them. And in Swift, there was one elected, was David Giesbrecht, and he's also having an ordination shortly, so pray for him also. And also there's Peter Craker from Campo 72. So if you have time, pray for him. So that's, the church is also moving forward in Mexico there too. So just wanted to mention that. And so I just want to thank you again for coming. Thank you for all the sound men, the song leaders, was already mentioned, pianist, piano player, and also ministerialists on the left here, and all of you. Thank you for coming and praying. So let us just bow for the benediction yet. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord preserve thy going out and coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. You may go in the peace of the Lord. Remember that Jesus loves you.